Right. I'm I must tell you that I, whenever you're ready to have the share live, please let me know. This whole Zoom Gemara share for the last year have been, for me personally, extremely busy of it. I'll tell you why. The Thursday night Parasha share and the Monday night Mustavad, I don't mind. Because that basically is just, you know, it's a lecture. But the Gemara share, yeah, at least it used to be in the good old days, you know, interactive, and it isn't anymore. Yeah, everybody's on mute, and somebody wants to ask a question, it's a whole business, and I just feel it's lost that interactive nature. So if and when you're ready, maybe we'll make a location somewhere between Gimel and Aleph, maybe somewhere in Mishkafayim or somewhere, in Nachum's dining room. No, Nachum, that sounds okay? You're on mute, I can't hear you. See, it's not interactive, that's the point. All right, let's see Tosfos immediately. The Tosfos at the bottom, Mamtin Ad Sheyichlu. Remember we said yesterday that somebody finds himself in the middle of davening and there's Meira Glayim being Shoyseis, pouring out, so he cannot daven at that point. That would be considered a Bezoyin for Tefillah, and you'd have to stop and then resume afterwards. Where does he resume from? That we saw yesterday, a machlokes, it turns out in the final analysis, and Mitzvah Hashem will see this in Shulchan Aruch, that if he paused so long that he has enough time to finish the entire Shemoneh Esrei, that he's definitely got to go back to the beginning. If it was just a less lengthy pause, then we had a machlokes. There was one opinion that says he still has to go back to the beginning because at the end of the day, he clearly was not in a fit state to daven even before the Meira Glayim was leaving his goof. And therefore, the minute leading up to that also rendered his davening as invalid. So the question that we left off with yesterday, and this we're going to look at now, is, one second, even after the Meira Glayim has finished, where is it now? Is it on the floor? Is it on his goof? Is it in his begodim? Would that be an issue with regard to davening? And by the way, this is extremely negeah halacha lemaisa. Even though we might think that this subject that we're talking about is not so relevant, it's extremely relevant. Because the person comes to shul, and just before he comes to shul, for example, he goes to the bathroom, which, by the way, is what you're supposed to do. As we're going to learn in the next Gemara, that if a person feels that he needs to relieve himself, essentially he's not supposed to be davening. So a person is supposed to go to the bathroom. On occasion, it may well be that there are droplets of Meira Glayim, for example, on his shoes. Is that an issue for davening? So this issue becomes now very relevant. So have a look at Tosfos. The bottom Tosfos, Mamtin ad sheyichlu hamayim. He has to wait until the mayim is finished. Says Tosfos, the mashtim, we're talking about somebody who's relieving himself, al gavei karka, over the ground. Oy, al gabe begodim, or over some sort of material, whether his own begodim or other begodim, the ein shom teifeach al menas lahatzpiach. Remember we defined this yesterday, even though the begodim might now be damp, but not wet enough for them in turn to make something else wet. Right? Sometimes you can have a towel, for example, where you've dried your hands and it's so sopping wet that if you would now be the next person in the queue to rub your hands in that towel, your hands would actually get wet. On the other hand, you could have a towel which might be mildly damp, but it's not wet enough to make something else wet. That's called teifeach shaloi al manas lahatzpiach. It's wet, but not enough to wetten something else. So says Tosfos, we're going to have to decide, we're going to have to make an akimta that we are dealing with either the Meira Glayim was on the karka, or it was in begodim, but not wet enough to be teifeach al manas lahatzpiach. So it was Ve'ein Shom Tzefeach Al Menach La'atziach. Kedemashma L'kamon. As Tosfos says, if you look in Daf Chof Hei Amud Aleph, you will see their evidence for this. How can that be? Kegoin the Ovid Tip Tip. Tip Tip, which as you might well guess means drop by drop. Shenivloin Mehera, which means they very quickly become absorbed. Now, imagine you take a cup of water, for example, and you pour it over the ground. It might not necessarily be absorbed into the ground. What would it depend on? It would depend on two factors. Number one, obviously, the amount of water. If it's just a small droplet of water, that would obviously seep into some crack and would be absorbed into the ground. So the amount is critical. But also the speed, how quickly the water is being poured over the ground. Meaning, even if it is a larger amount, but if you're pouring it drop by drop, as opposed to the whole lot in one go, then it will be more easily absorbed into the ground. Because a drop will find a crack, and another drop will find another crack. But if it's a whole body, a sitting puddle of water, then the water, as it were, holds itself and will not necessarily be absorbed into the ground as quickly as it would have done so had it gone there drip by drip. Says Tosfos, therefore, same over here as well. If we can decide that we're talking about going to Ovid tip tip, where the way he was relieving himself was drip by drip, shenivloin mehera. So it's absorbed very quickly into the ground or into the begodim. The same would be true, by the way, in a beged as well. How waterlogged and sopping wet a beged will be, whether it's a feach, amanas, la'atziach, will depend on whether it is a large amount of water and how is it poured into the beged. For example, imagine you have a cup of water. If you pour a cup of water, for example, over your sleeves, the whole cups, your sleeve will be drenched, sopping wet. Pour that same cup of water over the same area, but do it drip by drip, it might not be drenched. Because as each drop lands, it gets absorbed into material, it might evaporate, etc., etc. So we see that the amount of water and the speed of it is critical. So Tosfos says we have to be talking about, Tosfos is telling you a big chiddush and a big chumrah. Tosfos is telling you a chumrah, even though the Gemara says that you may resume your davening after you're finished, but that's only providing that there is no substantial residue of meraglai. How can that be? Well, it just disappeared into thin air. So Tosfos, basically, yes, it was on the ground, or it was on the begodim, and it was done so in a way that it could quickly get absorbed, even if it is mildly damp, but it is not damp enough to be considered al-manas la'atziach, and that's always the yardstick of how we measure fluids and wetness. So Tosfos, therefore, is telling you a tremendous chumrah. Why is this a tremendous chumrah? Because there is no mention of this in the Gemara whatsoever. The Gemara simply says, stop whilst the meraglayim is leaving the guf, and after that, resume. So the simple reading of the Gemara seems to indicate that it makes no difference about whether there's a residue of meraglayim there or not. That's what it would seem to be from the Gemara. Comes along Tosfos with a tremendous chumrah and says, it does make a difference. And in fact, if there's a substantial amount of meraglayim left, you would not be allowed to daven. So how does the Gemara make sense? The Tosfos, we're going to have to say that we're talking about that it got absorbed and basically has pretty much disappeared. But otherwise, it would be usur to daven even after the meraglayim leaves the guf, a tremendous chumrah of Tosfos. However, says Tosfos, that is Kain Pirish Harav Rabbi Yosef. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, but not everybody agrees. Umiu nira, but it would appear to me, says Tosfos, that I disagree. It would appear to me otherwise. Afilu im yesh, underline the word yesh. Even if there is enough liquid there, afilu im yesh bohem tefeach al menas lahatpiach mutarim. Harav Rabbi Yosef insisted that we have to ensure that we're talking about that whatever is left is not tefeach al menas lahatpiach. Tosfos says that I disagree, and I would say that even if it is tefeach al menas lahatpiach, which means it's very wet. In fact, it's so wet it's enough to make something else wet, which is, as I mentioned, that's the yardstick, that's always considered damp. Says Tosfos, it would be permissible to continue davening. Now, how can that be? Says Tosfos, I'll explain, and this is a very important principle. Says Tosfos, this whole issue of davening whilst of Meraglaim in the vicinity, is that an Issa Da'iraisa or an Issa Da'rabonon? It's definitely Issa. We said you cannot daven if there's Meraglaim coming out of the goof. Is that a Da'iraisa, a Minat Torah issue, or only a Da'rabonon issue? Says Tosfos, Kiven the Da'iraisa Einon Asurin Elo Keneged Ha'omud Bilvad. Minat Torah, it is only Asur to daven Keneged Ha'omud. Omud, in this context, should be translated as a stream or a jet. Meaning, if there is a sitting body of Meraglaim in the vicinity, that is not Asur Minat Torah. It's clearly not a very respectful thing, and that's why Midrabonon it is Asur. But Minat Torah, it's only Asur to daven Keneged Ha'omud, at the very moment that there is a stream, as the Meraglaim is leaving the goof, at that moment, one cannot say Dvarim Shebekedusha. So Tosfos is making a critical differentiation between Meraglaim, which is in the middle of leaving the goof, we call that the Omud. Omud literally means, normally we translate Omud as a pillar. In our context, it's a stream or a jet. That's one case. As opposed to Meraglaim, which is not leaving the goof, it has already left the goof. It happens to be in his vicinity. Where? On the ground, in his begodim. That is Asur only Midrabonon. Okay, so what's the difference? Either way, it's Asur. Says Tosfos, no, a tremendous chiddush. Kid and the Midrash writer Einon Asurin Elo Keneged Ha'omud Bilvad. Min HaTorah, it is only Asur if there is an actual Omud, a stream of Meraglaim. V'Rabbonon Hu De Gozur Koma. It was only Chazal who made a Gezerah, not Min HaTorah. It's only Chazal who made a Gezerah that one shouldn't daven either if there is no Omud of Meraglaim. Rather, it's just sitting there, a still body of Meraglaim. That's only a Gezerah Midrabbonon. Says Tosfos, the Kiven She'oimed Kvar B'Tfilosei. Seeing as we are talking about somebody who has already begun davening, remember, what's the story that we're dealing with? We're dealing with somebody who's in the middle of davening when this all occurs. So if he's in the middle of davening, and we need to ask ourselves the question, if there's Meraglaim in the vicinity, will the Gezeira of Rabbanon apply? And the answer is, Chazal waived their Gezeira because he's already in the middle of davening, and it would be a tremendous tircha if you now tell him he has to go back to the beginning of davening. There's places on the bottom line. The Kiven Sha'oimid Karvet Filosai, Loi Atrechuhu Rabbonon, the Rabbonon were not matriach, they did not overexert him, Lachzoir Betfila, to go over his davening. So Tosfos is telling you a tremendous chiddush, a tremendous chiddush. Like we said, when we talk about davening in the presence of Meiraglayim, says Tosfos, we need to distinguish between the Issa min ha-Torah and the Issa mid-Rabbonon. If this is an actual omud of Meiraglayim, which means it's currently leaving the guf, that's an Issa min ha-Torah. In which case there is no room for leniency, he's got to stop his davening, no questions asked. If, however, the Meiraglayim is not an omud, rather it's in his vicinity, it's true it would be osur to begin davening under those circumstances. But if you've already begun davening, to now say stop and pause, and wait till the Meiraglayim is cleaned off, and then go back to the beginning, that's such a huge balagan that Chazal waived the Gezeira. But again, you can only say this leniency if you preface that with the fact that we're merely dealing with an Issa Derabbanan. Obviously, if it would be an Issa Min HaTorah, then there'd be no room for leniency, which means in the final analysis, in the example we mentioned before, if somebody prior to davening, not in the middle of davening, prior to davening, notices in his vicinity there's Meiraglayim, either on the floor or on his begodim, in a way where it's just tefeach al manas lahatpiach, then he would not be allowed to start davening. It wouldn't be a deraita, it would be osur midrabbanan, but it would be osur to do. If it's a mere droplet that has splashed onto his shoe and or onto his trousers, pants, in a way that basically it's pretty much absorbed, and even though it's slightly damp, but it's not tefeach amanas latpiach, then it's okay anyway. Because we said that's not considered substantial enough. But if it is tefeach amanas latpiach, and you notice it before you begin davening, you should not begin davening. If you notice it in the middle of davening, then Taisa says that's too big of a tircha for Chazal to apply the exer. Rav Nachum, you're about to say something?
Yeah, I just had a question. Like, tefillah itself is derabbanan. So I just find it interesting that we have a daraisa on a derabbanan.
Great, good question. The chiyuv to daven is min ha-Torah, but the concept of saying Dvarim Shebekedusha, Hashem's name, in the presence of Meiraglayim, could be an Issa De'iraisa. Meaning, the Issa De'iraisa that we're talking about is not vis-a-vis the mitzvah of tefillah. Rather, it's vis-a-vis the very fact that at the end of the day, you are saying Hashem's name. Saying Hashem's name in the presence of an omud of Meiraglayim is an Issa D'Raisa. If it is just in the presence of a sitting body of Meiraglayim, whether on the floor or on his clothes, wherever it may be, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, and Tosfos is now distinguishing, therefore, between beginning davening under those circumstances or finding yourself in the middle of davening, which is a very, very important halacha. This is, by the way, even more negeah, have you take young children to shul. This can be very, very practical. Take your young son to davening, you tell him to go to the bathroom before. If you notice that he walks into shul and his shoes have been dirtied with meiraglayim, then lechatchila, that kid should not be davening. And in fact, he's making problems for those people who are standing around him as well. Again, if it's substantially wet. Not if it's just a mild drop which is basically absorbed into his shoe or socks. Okay, let's go back into the Gemara. This is Very, very, very important piece of Gemara that we just saw now. In fact, if you have a look, anybody who's got a Shulchan Aruch, Chelek Aleph from Nachum, they have that in your wife's kitchen? No. She's obviously up to Chelek Beis then. Okay, we'll have to do this by heart. Have a look at the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Brura in Siman Ayin Ches, 78 Ayin Ches. If you look for a moment in the previous siman, in siman Ayin Zayin, Shulchan Aruch says, Asur Likrais, it says Asur to recite, Kriya Shema over here, Kneged Mei Raglaim. You are not allowed to recite Kriya Shema Kneged Mei Raglaim. Now what does Kneged Mei Raglaim mean? Does this mean Meiraglaim, the omad of Meiraglaim, or the puddle of Meiraglaim? We'll see in a moment. We're talking about, it's not an omad. It's on the floor. You are not allowed to recite Kriya Shema ad sheyatil l'soicha revius mayim, until you pour into it a revius of mayim. All the details of which we're not going to go into, because basically it's a Gemara later on in Daf Chofei, which you haven't yet learned. The reason why I wanted to see this is if you have a look there in the Mishnah Brura, Sivkotten Beis. Says the Mishnah Brura, why does throwing into a revius mine help? Lefi, Shemin HaTorah Ein Isur Likros. Because min ha-Torah, there is no issa to recite Kriya Shema, rak keneged omud. Exactly as Tosfos just taught us. It is only an issa min ha-Torah to recite Kriya Shema where there is a stream shel kiluach. Kiluach is a jet. So where there is a moving stream of meraglayim bilvad, that's where there is an issa min ha-Torah. And as we said, there will therefore be no room for leniency. However, va'achar shenofal al ha'oretz, but once it has fallen onto the ground and is now not an omud, but rather a sitting body of water, ein isurei rak midivrei seifrei. Midivrei seifrei means it is only midrabanon. And because it is midrabanon, that's why Chazal said, lochein, Hekilu Chazal, that's why Chazal were lenient, and they said, Sheyochoy levatlom, you can be mevatl, this miraglai malidei, revius mai. By the way, the Mishnah Brura does continue, which is not our issue at the moment, but it's very, very important. The Mishnah Brura does say that all of this, and everything we are learning now, is providing that there is no unpleasant odor which is being emanated from the sitting body of Meraglaim. If there would be, in addition to the presence of the Meraglaim, there would also be the unpleasant smell of Meraglaim, then that's a different issue. So there it's irrelevant of whether it's absorbed or not absorbed. At the end of the day, if it's an unpleasant smell, you're not allowed to dust. That's a different halacha. So now turn to the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Ayin Ches. And this is the sugya that we just now learned. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Hayakoyre, if somebody was reciting Kriya Shema, v'hitzchilu mei raglov shoisesin al birkov, and the mei raglayim began pouring all the way down his legs and knees, poisek, he must stop there and then, ad sheyichlu Hamayim until it stops. And then the Choyzer Likrois, and then he goes back. Afilu im noflu al begodov. Even if the Meraglim fell onto his begodim. The Yesh bohem tefeach al manas latpiach. It's still okay. Clearly the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like who? Like Tosfos. Not like Rav Reb Yosef. He says after, look at the next line. Ve'im noflu meraglayim ba'oretz, and it hasn't been absorbed, then marchik mehem dalad amos. Then you would have to distance yourself a distance of 4 amos. If you look in the next line of the Shulchan Aruch, va'afilu shoh kedei ligmar es kulo, even if you paused so long enough to finish the entire Kriya Shema, einoi tzorich lachzor, you do not need to go back to the beginning, elo lemochim shepostak, whereas the Ramah disagrees, v'yesh oimrim bat, no, v'im shoho kedei ligmor es kula, then choyzer l'roish. Then he would have to go back, says the Ramah, v'chein, v'chein ikka, and that is the main opinion. Which means halacha lemaisa, if the pause was so long that in that time that he stopped, he could have basically read the entire Kriya Shema, then you have to go back all the way to the beginning. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Aleph, even though the Shulchan Aruch over here was not discussing tefillah, the Shulchan Aruch was really discussing Kriya Shema, but we do not distinguish between the two. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Hu Adin, exactly the same would be true, L'divrei Torah, U'L'Tfilah. The same would be whether you are learning Divrei Torah or davening Pesach. In all cases, you would have to stop Ad Sheyichlu Hamayim Lishtos. Until such point, the Meraglayim now finishes pouring out. Now, it might mean you're going to have to wait a long time. V'afilu im yitztarech, even if he's going to need to, al yedei zeh, because of this, lishhois harbeh, even if this means he's going to have to wait, pause for a long time. Be'emsa tefillah, she'yeh kedei ligmor kula, even if it means he might well have to pause for such a long pause that it's going to be the type of pause that he could have finished the whole davening in that time. And what will that cause? The yitztarech al yedei zeh, and he will necessitate because of this achar kach lachzor l'roish, to go back to the beginning. Afilu hochi mamtin. Nonetheless, you would have to wait all the time that the omud is leaving the guf.
Is there a call that with regard to any hefsek, if it's long enough that you could have completed it, that you'd have to go back to the beginning, whether it's for an onus or for any reason, then
Okay, so you're asking a very good question. Your question is really the subject of the tesis that we missed out. If you look on Chof Beis on the base, the third tesis, the one that begins with the word Elon. That is the subject of Tosfos, and Be'ezet Hashem, we'll look at it, maybe not completely, so we don't need to prepare this Tosfos, we're not going to learn all of it, but Tosfos distinguishes between two different cases exactly as you distinguished. And the the big question, for example, is that Mila Toiro, even though on Rosh Hashanah we listen to 100 blasts altogether from the Shofar, you actually, min haTorah, only need to listen to 9 altogether. The Gemara clearly said in Rosh Hashanah those nine can be spaced out throughout the course of the day. You can hear one tekiya at 9 o'clock, a shvarim at 10 o'clock, another tekiya at 11 o'clock. This could take 8 or 9 hours to complete. That's what it says in Rosh Hashanah. With a big question, one moment, how can that be? You're definitely pausing in the middle long enough to mekayem al mitzvah, so how can you just resume? The chayyim has to go back right to the beginning. That's going to be a question that we're going to discuss tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. And I must tell you, in rather strange and actually tragic circumstances, I had a shayla recently, which this was mamash, the yisoid of the shayla. There's somebody that I know who unfortunately is in jail at the moment. And he calls me every so often with all types of strange questions. He called me on Purim night. He managed to get a hold of a Megillah in jail. And he began reading from it, first 2, 3, 4, 5 prokim. When he got about halfway, for whatever reason, the Megillah got taken away from him, confiscated. He's hoping that he's going to be able to rescue it later on tonight. So what's the big question? If he does rescue it in 2 hours' time, do you have to go back to the beginning or do you just carry on? Now clearly, a 2 hour break is definitely a pause long enough to read the whole Megillah. So would that mean, therefore, he's going to go back to the beginning? Or perhaps not, maybe it's like Shofar. That was the subject of his Shaila. So Mitzvah Hashem will see some of this Tosfos tomorrow, if not all of it, and then we'll try to continue the Gemara as well, and that will be the Ezras Hashem tomorrow morning, all being well. For those who are part of it, the Monday night Vav, Mr. Hashem, we're going to be resuming tonight, hopefully at 7:15.
Oh, just go ahead.
Okay, all the best.
Go ahead.
Wonderful day.
All the best. Tell us.